Amen. How many of you know you have to live your life in defiance of what's in front of you, according to the word of the Lord? Amen. That's life. That's the pleasure and the privilege of being in Christ, is in the midst of everything that the world's saying is defining you and is a reality, we stand on the word of the Lord knowing this is reality. This is our foundation. This is our truth. This is our motivation. This is our sustenance. This is what satisfies. Nothing out here.
Right, right.
Praise God, you know, for a body of believers that are expanding, that are growing, that are believing God for bigger buildings, bigger, you know, just moving forward. That's the kingdom message. I love David Livingston was quoted as saying one time, Lord, send me anywhere provided it be forward.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I feel that. That's the missionary spirit. That's the missional call on every one of us. Mm-hmm. That 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ declared, it is finished,
yes,
defined everything about us. Mm-hmm. That victory is not a question. It is our absolute 100% inheritance and privilege as those who are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That he silenced the devil. How many of you know the devil's a liar?
Yeah, yeah.
Spends all of his time now unable to hinder the move of God, but very much actively trying to get us to embrace falsehood as truth, therefore defining us in the midst of his deceptions and minimizing and diminishing that which God has eternally secured in your life.
Right.
And we have to decide, are we going to embrace the revelation of the Word of God, the finished work of Christ, as complete and as ours, and as something that cannot be taken from us? Or are we going to submit ourselves to what the devil and the world portrays as our reality? I just, you know, to make it very clear, this is the tension we live in. You know, even during the last service, as I'm ministering, I'm getting texts from my wife, my two youngest. I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. Right now, they're being rushed to the ER. They've had a virus they're battling with, and for the last 2 days, it's been a, do I need to leave? Do I need to stay? And she just called and said, no, you know, we're on the way there. It's gotten worse and worse. And we leave for Africa on Wednesday for the next 2 years of our lives. It's every moment of every day. And what I refuse to do in my life, is to submit and surrender to a thief and a liar.
Yeah.
I trust my Lord.
Yeah.
I trust my God. He is worthy. He is enough. And if he says that we're redeemed, then we're redeemed. If he says we're healed, then we're healed. By his stripes we've been healed. Therefore, I know my children are healed. I live by faith and not by sight. I don't get in fear. Fear is not part of the culture of Christianity. Fear is not part of our culture. We cannot operate our lives by fear and anxiety and stress and all these things that pressure against us. We live by faith. And the fight in our lives is not a fight of physicality. It's not something we, you know, war in the flesh. Our fight is the fight of faith.
Mm-hmm.
We hope against hope. We believe against every influence and every external pressure and everything that's coming against us. We trust the Lord that he's faithful, that he's good, that what he says is true, and that though everything on this earth might feel like it's coming against his truth will win. And it has won. It's a past tense reality. Amen.
Yes.
So I just stand today knowing and declaring full of faith that my children are healed in Jesus' name. And I just declare right now, I praise you, Lord. I thank you, God. You are worthy, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I bless your name. I thank you, God, that you are King of Kings, that you are Lord of Lords, that you are holy, that you're majestic, that there's no one like you. You're the Lion and the Lamb. You satisfy my every being. You are worthy, Lord God, of my life. And we stand right now, Lord Jesus. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lord. And we just declare, you are able and mighty to save. And Lord Jesus, you know what? Even if you don't, we're all in. Because you're worthy. Amen.
Amen.
He's worthy. The Lord is worthy. I want to take a minute as well. Just, you know, I know that, man, Joe and Lily got an amazing intro from your pastor, but just as someone who's been on the field with these guys and been fighting the good fight, I've been overseas with my family for 9 years now. And we're currently, our responsibilities were director of operations for Africa, for the work we do there, and the pioneering reconnaissance and getting into these unreached nations, as well as the management of our base, Rapid 14, which at peak seasons will have 100 or 120 missionaries flowing and going all over the world. But Joe and Lily truly are, they're some of my best friends. I love them dearly. I believe in them. You just don't find people that are willing to volunteer and to commit to things that are terrifying, like well drilling, which is what they're doing. Yeah. It's not like you just hop in something and hit a button and it all goes well. It is the last, it couldn't be further from the truth. The difficulties and the frustrations and the faith you have to carry again and again and again that God will make a way. Okay, we've hit the fifth dry well, but we're gonna find water now and we're gonna commit. And we love these people because God loves these people. And I actually want to raise the bar right now. You guys are believing God for a new building, and these guys are believing the Lord to be sent back to Africa fully funded, and they need funding. And I know there are families here that are funding them. I know there are families here that are funding 100 different things. But I'm going to challenge you guys to defy the odds and to give and to up the ante again. Put this couple on your heart. They need monthly partners. They need people to commit $20 a month, sacrifice a McDonald's trip per month, and sow into them. Right. You know, that's the way I think about it. I mean, we give radically, truly. So if there's 100 people giving this thing, I'm believing the Lord that a radical move of God comes upon your guys' hearts to sow into their lives and to find them after the service and say, we want to be a part of your team. Amen. I wish I had people to come in when I was, you know, at my home churches and be able to just stand behind and advocate for these guys. And I don't want to miss the opportunity to do that. So I'm going to leave that as it is, but consider it. Right. Hear from the Lord on it. I know your pastor's heart. He wants to see the nations declare with a wholeheartedness, Jesus Christ, you are worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And guys, it truly is. His love is enough. His love is enough. I shared in the last service, you know, my life story. I grew up in a Christian home. You know, I had the foundation. I had all the stuff that you would, the recipe for good, healthy growth in a good family to be a servant of God and a follower of Jesus. And I got into high school, and what happens? You know, the world has its draws, it has its pulls. I was a very good soccer player, and the popularity from that pulled me into partying and then chasing, you know, women and all the things that come along with wanting to be satisfied by the world. But I played the double life role quite well for a number of years. How many of you been there before? Put on your suit and tie, you come to church, you praise, you might even dance up front, and really, and the truth is, there's sincerity too, isn't there? You love the Lord, you know He's worthy. But sometimes we get into a position where we submit to two masters. And I was in that place. And I had submitted to Master Jesus, and then I had submitted to the world. And I thought, maybe both can satisfy. Maybe I need a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And let me tell you, by the end of that 4 years of high school, I hated everything I stood for. I hated myself. I had no satisfaction. I was the valedictorian of my class, the soccer star, on scholarship, full ride to a team that was ranked number 3 in the nation. I mean, I had, the world would have said, man, this guy, he's living the American dream, right? Mm. And I'm sitting in bed at night looking at the fan go around thinking, I hate everything I stand for. Unsatisfied, hole in my life, what is happening? And instead of knowing I need to turn full onto the Lord, I just kept turning to the things of the world and trying more and trying more and getting worse off. And by the end of my time senior year, I had a rough weekend. Doing a lot of things I regretted and came back to my parents' home. No one was home. I went upstairs. I collapsed on my bed and, you know, just sobbed. It was like, I was done. That was it. I just couldn't move on with the way things were. And it was one of those prodigal son moments where, you know, you turn to the Lord and you go, Lord, would you take me back? At this moment, in my most vile moment, in my most vile state of being, I have nothing left. And I know you're it. You're all I've got. Are you still there? Would you take me back? I deserve hell. I know it 100%. But would you take me back? And I was a 17-year-old at that time, thinking I had a relationship with the Lord, thinking I knew the kingdom of God and knew who He was. And in that moment, my expectation was His response would be, let me list all the ways you failed me. And let me show you what you're going to have to do to earn good graces in me again. And I was ready for it. Okay, Lord, just show me. Whatever it is, I'm going to do it. I'm going to work my way back in. Yet His response to me was, and I tell you, it was one of the first times I had really, truly heard from the Lord, Jake, I still love you. I couldn't believe it. In that moment, every yearning of my heart was satisfied. In that moment, every desire of my life, everything in me that was looking for identity, everything in me that was looking to be, you know, you're just looking to be filled. I want to know who I am. I want to know what life's all about. I want satisfaction. Suddenly, I was full. I was overflowing. Tears started flowing, not out of regret or anything. It was adoration now. And in that moment, I said, Lord Jesus, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll change my plans. I was going into aerospace engineering, which just is so hilarious to me now to think the direction I thought was going to give me life. And very quickly after, the Lord confirmed a call to missions on my life. And so here I was, going to my parents, going to, you know, people in the school systems, whatever, saying, I'm going to be a missionary. And they're going, are you out of your mind? You know, missionaries don't make anything. They live horrible lives. But none of that mattered anymore. I had everything I needed in the revelation that God loved me. And He's enough. And to make a very long story short, my best friend in high school, who was following the Lord, and she was always questioning my actions and everything, we got together, started dating, went through college, and finished college, got married right after college, and 6 weeks later, we were on the field. Zambia, Africa, we've been there for 9 years. We haven't left. We've come back for, you know, short stints, you know, for a few months. Every 2 years is our kind of rotation, but we wouldn't trade it for anything. All the difficulties, all the things that, you know, of course, it was devastating to find out our 17-month-old daughter is diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, but the Lord's faithful, and we know that. Okay, so Lord, if this is the reality, you're going to help us. You're going to figure out a way to provide, Lord. Yeah. We know we've been called, therefore we're not going to allow circumstance to now dictate our movements.
Right.
We're going to trust the word of the Lord. Do you hear me? Don't. I'm not just talking about my situation. Put yourself in our place right now. What situations are you in that you're allowing the situation to define your movement rather than the word of God?
Yes.
What people in your life are defining your hope, your joy, your expectation? Your expectation is Christ in you, the hope of your glory.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what happened in our lives and what has launched us is a revelation that we have really no performance. There's no performance required anymore. I don't have to prove anything to God. I'm not a missionary so God can see, no, really, I love you, so I'm going to do this. Or in order to earn your love tomorrow, or in order to have confidence in prayer, I'm now going to, you know, memorize a few scriptures or whatnot. The Word of God is true. We love Him because He first loved us. And don't we have this dysfunction in life where we actually, once we're born again, once we come to Christ, as we mature, we kind of get in this mentality that, well, now if I mess up, now I've got to earn my way back in. Now somehow it's changed. And now I've got to be in a place of, well, look at what I'm doing, God. I know I mess up there, but look at this. I'm doing this well, right? And we get into this anxiety and this thing that leads to burnout, which burnout isn't even a part of the kingdom. It should not be it shouldn't be something that we're saying, oh, poor pastor so-and-so's burnout. That happens whenever we get into a place of trying to prove ourselves to a God who's not looking for proof. He's saying, yeah. No, I loved you to the extent that I sent my own son to sacrifice himself, to embrace the wrath that should have been yours, that you might be free and that you might be mine. That's your reality. That's the gospel. That's your position before the Lord. Secured when He declared, it is done. It is finished. Echoes into each of our realities, and it defines every one of us for those of us who have faith and embrace it. And I want to encourage you today. Let love be your motivation. You know, I worked in a daycare when I was young. Actually, even before my real turnaround with the Lord, and I told the story in the first service, but I had a little guy named Anthony, and Anthony was a four-year-old, and he was a scoundrel. He was a wild man, you know, always in timeout, always, you know, Anthony, you can take two toys out of the bucket. 15 are out of the bucket, and he's kicking them at me, you know, and he's like, you know, what are you going to do about it? Anthony had a hard life. He had both parents were in and out of jail. He had no consistency. He had, you know, it was difficult, and we knew that background, but still, it was hard. There were days where it was like, oh, Anthony, you know, you're driving me crazy, man. And so one morning he came in, and he had that look in his eye like, it's going to be a day, you know. I'm going to work you, Jake. So within the first hour, you know, I'm exhausted. I've put him in timeout I don't know how many times. He's, you know, he's not just, you know, and it was always the toy thing. I don't know why I was so stuck on that. But Anthony, two toys. You can take two toys out, put those away, you can get two more, you know. And it just, it keeps the chaos down. And he's, you know, taking toys and buckets and kicking chairs. And he's obviously, he's had a rough time. And I sat back in this little rocking chair that they had. And I, Lord, what do I do right now? What do I do? How do I get this kid to listen to me? And you know what the Lord told me? Tell him you love him. Lord, I don't want to say that right now. He's driving me crazy. But knowing that God's ways are not my ways, I sat back and I did love that little boy. I said, Anthony. And he pricks up, you know, he knows, he realizes, oh man, my life's a mess right now. I'm in trouble. Look at what I've done. Anthony. He kind of, you know, glances over his shoulder, looks at me. Do you know I love you? He stops for a minute to, you know, it jarred him, to process what he just heard. Immediately grabs the toys, is tossing them in the bucket. Toss them in the bucket. Go and toss them in the bucket. Setting up the chair. Tossing the toys. Tossing the toys. Once he cleans up the area, he turns and makes a sprint right for me. Jumps into my arms. I'm on the rocking chair. Buries his little head into my neck. And we spent 5 minutes in silence. Because he was satisfied now. He had what he needed. Love is the motivator, guys. And yet we try so hard to prove ourselves again and again. God, look at me. Is it enough yet? Is it enough yet? Is it enough yet? It'll never be enough. You can never earn your salvation. You can never earn your standing before the Lord. Your position before God, your confidence in prayer is not based upon your merit, your work, your academic prowess, your skill sets, your athleticism. He's enough. He's finished the work. He has said once and for all, look, when Jesus Christ declared it is finished, what was the event that happened? The veil was torn from top to bottom. Straight open. The temple torn in two, showing. Now, you don't need a priest to go in on your behalf and to cry out on behalf of your sins. It's been done once and for all. The lamb that was slain was enough. And you now have access, boldness, confidence to approach the throne of grace through his finished work. And let me tell you, when you embrace that as your reality every morning, every day, every evening, there's nothing more motivating in your life. You'll run harder than you ever ran for the king. You'll give more than you ever gave. You'll be more committed than you've ever... People think, well, there's a dysfunction because then I'll just claim something and live the way I want to. No, you can't live the way you want to if you truly believe. Right. As Paul says, the love of God constrained him to do everything that he did, which eventuated in his death. I mean, guys, hear me out on this. Trust the Bible. Trust the Word. His love is enough. Yeah. You cannot add to it. This isn't a performance contest. And I get into these times in my life where I'm exhausted and I'm saying, Lord, man, really? My two kids are sick right now and I'm pushing and trusting you, Lord. And then the enemy starts and you know what? It's probably because of, you know, you got angry at this and you had that corrupt thought the other day and this is allowed in your life because of a curse on you and all this. That is complete garbage. Jesus Christ said, it is finished. He's enough. He's finished the work. Move forward in a defiance that says, I'm not going to listen to the world. I'm going to listen to my Lord. The Word of God defines me, motivates me, sustains me, equips me. His love has not just given us a golden ticket into heaven. It has equipped you to represent Him perfectly where you are right now. That's grace. Grace doesn't just give you the golden ticket. It says, no, now sin has no dominion over your life. Mm-hmm. The power of God's upon you. You're not a slave to sin. Yeah. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Therefore, do not submit yourself again under a yoke of slavery. The devil comes to submit to force you into a place of submission through deceit and lies, trying to convince you, no, you're still the same person you were. And yet the Word of God says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old man is gone. Gone. Dead. Destroyed. Not being pulled along. Severed. Behold, the new has come.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful today that my confidence isn't in anything that I bring to the table. Galatians 2:20, for I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Don't let it stop at simply knowing you're getting into heaven. Realize every one of you have a missionary call in your life. Every one of you have a missional movement that has come the day you were born again, the day you received the seed of God, Jesus Christ in you, as I said, the hope of your glory. And the reality is this, you have been called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and you've been perfectly equipped to do that in this life, right now, if you're in Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 4 through 9. You know, sometimes I read the Word and I just sit back and I think, how am I not more ravished? How am I not more dumbfounded at truly what we've received in Christ? And what is our inheritance? And what is our hope? And what is our confidence? You read scriptures like this and think, how could this be? And yet it's truth. The Word of God is true. I'm going to read through it quickly and then we're going to go back through a few points. Verse 4, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I just want you to see, what I'm talking about isn't fantasy. It's not just something to make you feel good. It's based on the Word of the Lord. Paul stood before the church of Corinth, which we understand, they were in a mess. Things were not in order. It was chaos. And he says to them, his confidence in them, verse 4, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul's confidence wasn't, I see you're very hard workers. I see you're very strong people. I see you're very intellectual. No, I know you've received the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm utterly confident you have everything you need.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he continues on to explain to them what they've received. That in every way, can you say every way?
Every way.
You were enriched, past tense, you've got it. You were enriched in him and all speech and all knowledge. I love that he deals with speech and knowledge, because here's the reality. You have the ability to declare what you need to declare, the glory of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been equipped. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the lay speaker's job. You have the ability to declare what needs said in the moment that you're positioned as an ambassador of Christ, wherever you are, in your workplace, before your family, whatever it looks like. You're equipped in all speech and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, meaning the only people that can have confidence in this are those who are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ. Do you believe? Verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift. I've got to a point where I get pretty frustrated with the whole spiritual gifts assessments. And they're not bad things. But what I've realized they've done to me is they've said, okay, you're good at this, so focus on this. And you're really bad at this, so don't expect this in your life. Which isn't true.
That's right.
You are not lacking in any gift. Well, I'm not a hospitality guy, so Sister So-and-so's hospitality, she'll take you in her house. Me, it makes me a little uncomfortable. Well, you got to give up that discomfort.
That's right.
The king is worthy. Well, you know, I'm not really the, whatever it is. You hear what I'm saying? You're not lacking in any gift. Perfectly able to represent Jesus in every capacity because of the finished work, not because of anything you've earned, not because you've memorized enough scriptures or fasted long enough or any of that stuff. I'm not knocking those disciplines. You do those things out of an overabundance of You've done it all, Lord.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm all in. Therefore, I'll gladly fast and show. I'm not defined by the physical. I'm defined by the spiritual. I'll gladly consume your word and memorize it because it defines me. It's my life. It's my security. It's my ability to stand in opposition to everything this world is portraying. It's an overflow of what we know we've received. Continues on here. So that you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. You will finish your race. That was one of the things I was most aware of in our car accident a number of months ago, was when we watched two vehicles collide 10 feet in front of us, burst into flames. We hit that, ramped up over top of it. My buddy who's in front of me sees our Jeep come through the air like this through a flame that went up to this ceiling. And we hit the pavement, and it shoots us into the little cliffside. Six people dead. My family walk out of that vehicle, not a scratch. Who will sustain you to the end? Let me tell you, we can spend our whole lives trying to protect ourselves, trying to build up security and comfort. And let me tell you, Jesus Christ alone is your security. You give yourself wholeheartedly to the King and His kingdom, you will be secured to finish your assignment. And when it's your time, you'll be happy. You're with the King.
Yes, amen.
Who will sustain you to the end? Now, this is the other unbelievable part. Guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us live continually aware of our faults, continually aware of our failures, continually being reminded or having others remind us and submitting to that reality? Guiltless in the day of His return, which is a future time, but it's a present reality. You're guiltless before the Lord. Paul stood before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, and declared himself, I have a clean conscience before my Lord. And they slapped him in the face because it was ridiculous. This guy killed Christians. How could he have a pure conscience before the Lord? But he had a revelation.
Yes.
Jesus Christ had paid his debt. Jesus Christ had won a victory that he could never earn. And it ravished his heart unto him, giving his life for the kingdom of God. It's all of our calls. There's no this superstar mentality. You know, we come in and minister and whatnot, and people put us on this pedestal. Oh, if only we could do what you do. And it infuriates me. You do what you're called to do.
Yeah.
Run that race with all of your heart. For some of you, it is missions. It is overseas missions. For some of you, it's being faithful to your assignment, but trusting the Lord to bring revival in whatever your assignment is and establish His kingdom, because He can do it. Whether you're an accountant, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. Be obedient. Be obedient, because He's worthy. He's worthy. He's so good, and He's equipped you to represent Him perfectly. We head out on Wednesday, which is, 3 days away. And our vision, our expectation before the Lord is, Lord, you've assigned us to Africa. You're going to make a way in Africa. 2 years ago, we were positioned in this responsibility. And sure enough, within 6 months, God had connected me to a chief that was radically following Christ, Chief Chepepo. He and I are really best friends now. He calls me his pastor. I'm way younger than him and have no right to be called the pastor of this guy. And we go around and minister to chiefs. We've seen 3 chiefs give their lives to Christ in the last 2 years, which opens up hundreds of thousands of people to the gospel. He's called me up recently and said, what's our itinerary this year? So I'm planning to be in the capital city 3 days out of every month. He's bringing chiefs in, and we're going to sit down and help them through marital issues, tribal conflicts, disputes, etc., and minister the gospel to him. God has opened up a platform, and I never once said, okay, God, I'm believing you for the chiefs and kings and presidents or whatever, but simply said, yes, Lord, whatever it is, yes, I don't know what it looks like, but I'll move forward. I'm in action. I'm going forward. I'm constrained. And suddenly, doors are opening that I would have never imagined. Hear me on this. I never dreamed this up. This isn't ambition, selfish conjuring. I didn't manipulate events. God opened doors. And now we sit down and say, no, Africa is going to have revival. No. What nation is next? Okay. God's going to make a way. We move into it. We're going into Zanzibar this year. We're going into Morocco. We have places that we're believing God for, Muslim nations. And we're already in Congo. We're in Angola, Mozambique, Zambia. And it's phenomenal. And we're not exhausted. We're not overwhelmed. We're not, oh God, you know, how many more years do we suffer along? No. His victory is enough.
Yes.
His life's enough. And we just trust for the expression of that victory to touch the nations and to do what we know it can do. I want to encourage each of you. God has put vision on your life. He's put dreams. He's given you your own creativity by the Spirit of the Lord. Some of you have side-tabled that because you said, there's no way this could be me. There's no way this could be for me. There's no way this could be the Lord. It's too big. It's too crazy. Stir it up. Set it before the Lord. Start moving forward in faith and watch. Watch what God does. Amen.
Amen.
Final thing I want to say is this. You guys have a beautiful community that God's growing and phenomenal leaders and you're sowing people into the nations and finances and it's a healthy move. One of the most critical recipes for healthy growth in a community is this. You fight for each other. And it's one of the things I see lacking the most in the West. Is when someone falls and everyone talks about it, and make sure you kick them on the way out because, you know, they weren't really in it. There's a devil who prowls around like a roaring lion looking to whom he can devour. And if we're linked arm in arm, he's not going to have a way in. Fight for each other. Stand for each other. Pick up each other's needs. Fight for each other because the kingdom of God's worth it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord. Oh, anoint our hearts, anoint our lives, God. We are yours. I thank you, Jesus, that the work is finished, that you have silenced the enemy. He knows his time is already been secured and done. I just pray, Lord God, that we would live our lives with wholehearted obedience for the sake of your name, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this body. I thank you for this church. I pray, God, you didn't just continue to expand their vision. The things that they're dreaming up now, praise the Lord for, give them more. Give them more, Lord Jesus. Bring more people in. Bring resources, God, that they may continue to sow and give and watch as you are the apple of people's eye across the earth, Lord God. And as you're lifted up, Jesus, we know as you're lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you, Lord. So be lifted up in our lives. Be lifted up in this body. And Lord Jesus, we bless you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy, Lord God. Praise your name. Thank you, God.